Yo, Vegas lights shine bright, bad boys sitting pretty. Michael, Steve, Rob running things in Sin City. Podcast blazing truth, rhyming hard and witty. Three kings on the mic, Vegas life gets gritty. Matt Michaels dropping bombs, quick wit, no filter. Sin City's own, blending gold with the silver. Steve taking notes, every word's a thriller. Rob's on the tracks, beats cold like a chiller. Bad boys a podcast, raw truth they broadcast. Speaking facts so fast, haters coming dead last. Las Vegas legends, three amigos top class. Mic in hand, setting fire, never outclass.
Hey, Matt Michaels, Sin City Steve, and Rob Trump here on the Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.
Whatever.
No, I mean, it's just hard to get used to. Over a year of, you know, using your actual name, and now you just, you know, I mean, does that mean, are you related to, you know, like Eric?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Wow. You fucking, like, no Don Jr., no Baron even. Like, I would have settled for Baron. Like, Baron would have been like, all right, I'm the fucking retard one. Okay, cool. Not the super old retard one. I would have been happier with Tiffany even.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Well, speaking of things that...
Who pussied out? Is that what you were trying to say?
Oh, man. Double or nothing happened this past Sunday, in which...
Woo!
We already know that young Stephen Hare went on with a red Jed and decided to... air out his loves and dislikes and paint a picture with the masterful brush strokes that he does so well. But it is now our turn to look at some of the memorable occasions, you know, of that night.
Yes.
Okay. So let's start with this, and since I got him up, that guy.
Bang, bang.
Some interesting stuff.
Yeah, man.
There. just in general, I love some of these pictures, and
that was a really cool moment.
Yep.
Jericho doing the table break spot tribute to Sabu was really cool.
Yeah, I can't wait until he does the Kane spot to tribute Sandman in a couple weeks. His clock is still ticking. He does that, right? He knows that.
Yep.
What the fuck was this, by the way? Who is that?
Luther.
Luther, bro.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. That's Luther presenting him with the XL-sized tennis racket and... obviously, keep in mind, Jericho and Luther are super tight. So, I was waiting for them to have some sort of interaction on AEW TV or a pay-per-view. And here we go. Luther's not doing anything with Tony MIA, if you will. Right. And this was a fun use of Luther for sure.
Yeah. That whatever the hell that is.
Oh my God, dude. Technical wizardry. Michaels, I can't believe I can't believe that you didn't enjoy that one.
I don't know. Maybe it's those tights.
Come on.
I mean, looks like he's...
What do
like,
they have to do? What do they have to do?
Change the first three letters to WWE, and then he would like it.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, these two jackasses could be WWE, and I wouldn't... Be saying anything good.
I mean, come on, the running with Beth kicking the shit out of Stokely Hathaway, and then
not to mention that flaming table bump too.
Oh my God! I planted right into the steel steps, and then they tried to set her on fire.
Yep.
The spear, and Stokely Hathaway goes into the flames.
I found it pretty ironic that they did do that flaming table spot. which obviously is a callback to Edge and Mick Foley at WrestleMania on the night when Mick debuted for the company in the pre-show as a broadcaster.
You mean this guy?
Yeah. He's all elite.
Yeah.
You'd love to see it.
He's been TNA, WWE, and now, thank God, he's all elite. And I hope that the company better matches his belief systems, where he's able to be productive and not just be a guy who shows up once in a while. Hopefully,
well, wait. That's all he should be, is a guy who shows up once in a while.
I understand.
Have him do commentary. He should not be an in-ring performer. Don't even.
Well, no, obviously, but we want something other than we got ourselves a new champion.
Oh God. The only flub on commentary all night, and it was from JR. It was from JR after that Kyle O'Reilly and Moxley match. I could not believe that shit.
Listen, JR is it's time for him to be let out to pasture.
Are we talking about old Yeller style?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
No, I like it. I like that he was there. They have something probably where Moxley says, "Hey, I want this guy to call my matches."
Yeah.
And that's fine. I'm waiting for Jim Ross to get confused and think he's looking at Stone Cold.
Listen, I mean,
give it time.
You know, if the assumptions are true, Jim Ross will be very lucky if he remembers a lot of stuff, because, you know, there's talks that he's starting early onset of Alzheimer's. So,
well, that would be in line with the, you know, his inability to follow the match.
Right. Which is why you don't put him out there to have those moments in which fans can say that this is sad, he's embarrassing himself, etc. So I don't know. It's enough already.
He was calling matches in England about 8 years ago for one of their promotions, and he was about 50% in the tank. But this is nothing. I would even settle for that, but this is nowhere near his GCW, whatever the heck promotion that was. He has no energy. I know it wasn't GCW. It was something. It was a similar name. And I can't remember, but it's not worth it. They need to have him for the closed interviews, the closed circuit, you know, little interviews where they can curate what he says. And even the last time they did that, you could tell they just threw a button down shirt on him. He still had the iron marks on the shirt from where they had, it was right out of the packaging. They're not doing him any favors, and they're not respecting his legacy.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I have to say this. For us to pick, find fault, and criticize with, realistically, one of the few negatives from this show says something, to say the least. But an amazing show. Absolutely. And I say whatever you will with the biases and all that kind of stuff, but I've had strictly WWE fans reach out to me after watching Double or Nothing and just reaffirm my belief that AEW is something special at times. And I think we're seeing them getting the momentum, and it's a very exciting time for a professional wrestling fan. So.
Absolutely. Now, what I would say, and I don't know if we're grading this, if it's too soon to do that. I was gonna say 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I'd say 9.5. There were some things. The weakest point on the show, honestly, was the Mina Shirakawa and Athena match.
Even with that,
there was definite storytelling in what they were doing in that match. So that, by no means am I saying that was a bad match by any means, but there were some amazing things on this show. Okada Takeshita was fantastic. Mm-hmm. My match of the night by far. Also though, Bandido and Swerve did some things that I have never seen done in a professional wrestling ring. The, uh, the house call kick while Swerve is standing on Bandito's shoulders.
Oh my God.
Unfucking real. The athleticism, and then the reverse Rana off of the apron to the floor was insane. Yeah. Unreal stuff. And it goes without saying, the MJF Darby match, we knew what we were going to get and we got it. Obviously they were in the state of New York, so they couldn't do the brawling in the crowd. They couldn't do intentional blood. So, you know, they had to get creative with certain things. And I think that you really did see them adapt. It also goes without saying that Stadium Stampede match, according to the Young Bucks, the only thing that was pre-taped was that super dope entrance video. The videos, I should say. Yeah. Obviously, one set to Metallica and the other one being a mimic of the Warriors. But it was, yeah, that was the only pre-taped stuff. So even the Mark Davis spot with the bus, that was done in real time. So yeah, they definitely got creative with some things. Props to everybody on that show.
This is what I've been looking for in pro wrestling. I want the matches. I want the tapes where they're going, okay, this will be the great, you know, matchup. But I want storyline behind it. They gave us both.
They did.
And they did it in every single match. You mentioned the Athena match. Mina Shirakawa out wrestled her.
Yeah.
In the entire match. It was only in the last 2 minutes where Athena got her two finishers, you know, back to back, that she was given that win. And that's fine. I have no problem with her progressing. But Mina Shirakawa taking the huge drop kick, the knee stops of the turnbuckle, the duffel back throw to Mina, but then the jumping pile driver into the old face and the top turnbuckle for the win. They really went all out. And if you're saying that's the weakest match, I had that win graded very high.
And that's the thing, is that just goes to show you the quality of in-ring match that we got from top to bottom on that show. Just a very, very solid watch for sure. Even the harshest AEW critics, I would advise them to at least give the show a watch, you know, genuinely give the show a watch and then take a look in the mirror and see if you're being honest with yourself. This was a fantastic show.
And by the way, the Darby Allin match was an example. The story that they told there was Darby was trying to recreate the circumstances by which he won the first time by taking insane risk after insane risk. He did, the match starts off with him doing a suicide dive and he gets thrown into the announce table back first and then he lands awkwardly. That was the marker for the entire match. It was, you know,
oh, you mean Darby was doing a match and
right, but he missed it.
It's not storytelling. That's all the fucker does.
That title run was booked absolutely perfectly, though. Genuinely, like he did not have a bad match in the month that he had that title. He gave eight defenses, and each match was very solid, but they all told a story. Even with the Sammy Guevara match, you know, at the end where he had him in the sharpshooter and he passes out.
Let's stop the bullshit and let's go to Kofi Kingston. All right.
Okay.
How much fucking whining was there and complaining when Brock beat Kofi, you know, took that belt off of him, and it had only been certain amount of time, right? But it was longer than fucking 6 weeks or whatever the fuck it was, right?
Yeah.
The problem with this that I have is the fact that if you're going to put a belt on someone like that, who, if you're going to build these new faces of your company, when I say new faces, not to your fans,
right?
To make it someone who that could potentially do more. If you're going to say that, yeah, he's getting all this exposure for climbing Mount Everest and doing this and doing that, where the fuck was he? He wasn't out there. They weren't showing him. He wasn't prevalent enough because you only gave him X amount of weeks. You let him win in his hometown, and then you let the other guy win in his hometown, the guy who already had the belt. And we know that Darby is not going to be in the set for, you know, the title right now because it's right. going to someone else. So that's my problem with this aspect of it, is why take it off of MJF at that point? Give Darby a fucking 6 month a year run if you're going to make him a champion.
A question. That's a really good point. My thing is, what about Darby is conventional? Realistically, he doesn't look like any other pro wrestler on the planet. He doesn't wrestle like any other pro wrestler on the planet. Yep. Why should his title reign be like any other title reign that's ever been seen before on this planet?
Because they gave him more title defenses than almost anybody else has ever had in the company. They showcased every main talent that they have.
Almost everyone else is like, shut up. He had fucking 6 weeks with the belt.
I get that it was short, and I wish they hadn't rushed it. I wish they would have maybe done this after All In. And I could appreciate that. There's nothing wrong with that. Except that
this is what Tony does. It's your hometown. Here's the title. And it's a repeat with him. It's been consistent now.
So they've had people lose in their hometowns.
They have. My question is this too, Matt.
Cage and Cook, didn't they lose in Canada?
Yeah, they did.
That's not the world title. The world title, he has had this infinity with having someone win in their home fucking town.
Yeah. All right. And guess what? It's going to happen again in August. So I can't wait to see you complain about that.
Because at least that's August. It would have made more sense to me have the uninterrupted fucking run for the guy.
Right.
We all fucking agree.
I was very skeptical when they took the title off of Max. I didn't see the vision because realistically, I didn't see Darby holding that title all the way until All In. I knew that it was going to be an abbreviated title run, but the way that they booked everything in terms of the match quality on every show, not just on Dynamite, but this guy was also defending that title on Collision and going out there doing anything possible.
Then why take the belt off of it?
I think they wanted this as an opportunity for every one of their main rosters. In other words, this is a showcase. It's like in comedy. They go, here's a showcase. I'm going to give you one of every person. You're going to get to see one of each of the top talents and see what they do in a premier match.
Yeah.
And that's like what they did. That was the point. Now, is it a short run? I did not like that. Could have gone a few more months, 2 months, 3 months. I get that. They crammed an entire run into 6 weeks, but they gave us more than what a lot of other guys do. There was a guy in Busted Open once. He goes, wait a minute. So you mean if I just talk more, I can wrestle less and make more money? That's Maxwell Jacob Friedman. And Bully Rice said, you're learning. Maxwell Jacob Friedman is going to hold on to a belt for a few months longer. He's going to drag it out. There won't be a lot of title defenses. So we got a compressed year in 6 weeks. It's interesting. Would you want to do this all the time? No. Could there be another wrestler who would be able to wrestle like that? No.
So barring injury, this happens in the WWE, and what do the AEW fans say? Oh, they fucked them.
Wait a minute. When you talked about Kofi Kingston, there was one distinct difference with Kofi Kingston.
Yeah.
You knew he was going to lose to Brock Lesnar. Not off of one fucking F5. That was insane.
It doesn't matter.
That matters immensely.
The whole thing was the build-up of the fans going, this guy got the title. This is fucking awesome. And then as soon as he fucking lost that title, it was, well, they didn't fucking do him justice.
They didn't do him justice because Darby Allin was given a match that went about a half an hour. Fucking
but Darby Allin didn't do shit. No one is going to remember Darby Allin as champion.
Are you insane?
No, dude, you
will remember this run for months, if not years,
you're
man.
Off base, man. That's what I'm saying.
It's not going to be years. It's not going to be years. Come on, don't pull the wool over your eyes on that.
I'm not pulling the wool over my eyes. He had Wait a minute. Pause. I'm going to use your example, Matt. Let's use your example, Matt. Let's calm down. Let's use your example. You compare him to Kofi Kingston's title reign. Who had the better title reign? who was given more opportunities, who took the ball and ran with it and made the most of that small amount of time. Darby Allin ran with it. You're going to remember the match at the golf course. You're going to remember all these insane matches. You're going to remember a guy jumping off a trestle. They literally made an arena for him to fight MJF. Nobody did that for Kofi Kingston.
And what you're going to not remember is that stuff 6 months from now.
Of course
because
I would.
Because he does the same stuff, right? That is his MO. It doesn't matter if he's champ or not, right? That's what he does, right? You just said it. You said it early. That is his style of wrestling, right?
No, but I feel that you missed the storyline. The storyline wasn't that he did insane shit. It was the way in which he chose to do it. Everybody has moves. Everybody has moves, Michaels.
Again, the fact of the matter is that the guy held the belt less than, you know, if you're going to complain about the fact that WWE has a guy lose the belt in, you know, 32 seconds after he wins it because of a cash in the case, right? That shit we don't remember. Honestly, who remembers that? That's what I'm saying. This is such a tiny
Actually, I remember Drew McIntyre getting screwed by CM Punk. Crying that he won the belt, Sting in the ring too long, and then
honestly, that was well done. So I agree. I will remember that because it was done well.
I remember the second time where he doesn't, and then you, Michaels, going, "Hey, so CM Punk went," and you said to me, "Oh, you watched it late, huh? Ah, too bad." And then also, and then he comes out and he's not injured. I remember that. I remember because that was a play on what CM Punk did to Drew McIntyre. I remembered that. I'm a fan of wrestling. If you write it well, what I don't like was 1F5 and you're out.
But you remember it's 1F5 and he's out, right?
Because it was wrong. That's what I'm saying.
Because it was wrong. But
that was wrong. It wasn't that he had a short title run.
Is that Kofi Kingston still had a longer run and people were pissed that he lost it.
Here's the other thing, though, WWE.
Darby shouldn't have had this run.
If the McMahons don't like you, if Hunter, Stephanie, anyone, you know what they're going to do? The storyline will be you're a B player. That's what they did with Kofi. Triple H went out there and goes, "I don't understand why people like this guy." He came out and said that. I remember that too. I remember when they did it, Daniel Bryan, and Stephanie said, "You're a B-plus player." And the story was, "We know better than you, but you're bitching about it so much that we're going to give it to you to shut you up. But as soon as we want it, we're going to take the belts away from them." And it wasn't storyline. They just did it. They gave this guy a storyline. They wrote something in there. He put something on the line that MJF would truly regret losing. There was good story, and he came with such force that he fucked himself up. He out-wrestled himself. That was the story. It was perfectly
written.
But
you knew from the beginning.
I didn't know that. I didn't know.
Come on. You didn't know that Darby Allin was losing his belt to MJF, the guy he won the belt from just weeks ago.
Sure. How are we going to get there? Wrestling is work. All wrestling is work. All wrestling is work. The story, the sport is how we get to the finish. How did we get to that finish? We got there by the guy with the belt is so scared of losing it, he's going to try to put this guy away quickly, and he hurt himself over and over and over. MJF. Okay. That was the story. I'm sorry you didn't see it. We saw it.
Yeah. All right. That's great. All right. We've wasted too much fucking time on this. All right. Let's go to something good. Adam Copeland admits his body is giving up and he needs to retire. During a recent interview, Copeland revealed that retirement is just around the corner. Because his body can no longer physically hold up at 52. I already had to do it once with the retirement. So the second time it's like, all right, I know how to navigate this. I know what to do. Of course, back in 2011, severe neck injury issues ended his WWE career at 37 years old. It was different then because I was forced. And I think that makes it more difficult. I think the retirement is going to be an easy one because it's like I've got no choice, man. feel like coming back after my forced retirement and getting this last 6 years back really kind of helped me get the stuff out of the basement that I didn't get out the first time, or more so allowed him to wrestle and make out with Christian Cage for a good 2 years. I mean, why, if that was his basement dream, Jesus Christ. Good.
Wearing a dicky. Good. God damn it.
I hope he retires.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah. I mean, it's,
he wants, you know, Darby Allin to retire. He wants Christian Cage.
No. Edge has done nothing to bolster this company. He's a guy who, since he's been back, he got injured big time because he did something stupid.
Mm-hmm.
And he has not been a major player. All of his shit has basically revolved around Christian. Christian, on the other hand, has made this a run for himself, you know? Adam is effectively doing what he should be, and that is easier on his body if you're not doing stupid jumps off of cages and going home and being able to be a dad. Now his body's shutting down, so you get to retire. So good for him. But, you know, again, I think he should have stayed retired after the neck injury. And if you look at it again, that whole run since he's been back between both companies, there really hasn't been anything that you can go, well, thank God he came back because of this moment.
It's nostalgia, mostly 99% nostalgia. Adding Beth Phoenix in here and there has been good. I would have liked to have seen maybe a run for her, but that's asking way too much.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, of course not. But I like what she did. It was like, again, seasoning or, you know, powdered sugar. She's like the powdered sugar on the pastries. You know, it's an extra garnish. It made it better. How long will
she's
they roll?
She's you? White and bland and gets all over your face.
Oh, we're friends again. No, it was great. You know, when she brought out Spike and all that jazz, it was good. It made it seem like a family. That was the first time that you had that family feel since the Young Bucks when they brought their kids out. I liked everything that he's done in this particular match, but everything leading to it has been lackluster, and his alliance with FTR was, I didn't get that. It didn't register with me. It didn't resonate with me. I just like, all right, why are these two guys, these three guys aligned? Oh, they're trying to get some, you know, action off his name. But his name is Cope. It's not Edge. I don't know. Do I complain? I give it a B-plus run for him. Christian Cage has got an A-minus run. He's crammed a lot of stuff into those years. Becoming TNA champion. The feud with Kenny Omega, which is why it's a little weird for me that he dresses up like some weird perv, because he actually looked good in that run that he had with Kenny Omega going back and forth to TNA. And then let me conduct my business. To me, that's like big money Matt Hardy. It just, I don't like that gimmick. It needed to retire, that gimmick.
If you'll notice, that's his flub line. So if he ever says anything that's just wrong, or if he stumbles over his words in a promo, he automatically defaults to "let me conduct my business."
Okay.
So, yeah. So next time that he does that, just
pay attention. Yeah. All right. That's smart. I did not pay attention to that. It's very smart.
All right.
But yeah, I think Christian has had a much better run than Copeland has, for sure. Which is really cool to see, because Christian has developed a completely different character than anything that he's ever done before in this AEW run. Realistically, yes, Cope is living off of the nostalgia vibes, and I totally get that.
You think you know him?
But I think Christian has made the most of this run for sure. And yes, I am happy to see them hold championships for the first time in 25 years, which is a really cool, you know, kind of a footnote. And let's be real, we're going to get they can't call it TLC, maybe a DLC with like doors, ladders, and chairs at Wembley Stadium with the Bucks, FTR, and Cajun Cope. I'm cool with it.
Unfortunately, the Hardys hit the wall. They were the other ones that I wanted to have a title run for, even for just 2 months.
They're doing but some good stuff in House of Glory, though, by the way.
They are.
Yeah.
They just need to, you know, cut down on the spam of glory.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Tony Khan. I love this headline, AEW fight for the following 2026. Potentially dedicated to ALS effort following Rebel's diagnosis. Can we just make it official and not put out potentially? Come on.
I mean, that thing, his heart grew one size bigger.
Yeah, I mean, now the thing that I'll say, first things first, is, you know, prayers, thoughts go out to Rebel for what she's enduring. But it is very good to see the support that the entire locker room has shown her, that even, you know, with Tony making the comments that he did in the media scrum, it was. I agree. I think that he should have made some sort of an announcement and made it official, as opposed to, oh yeah, maybe we're going to do this, and it possibly is going to be linked to ALS efforts and research. Just go ahead and say that the proceeds from the show are going to be going to ALS research.
Because he can't. Because if he does.
But that's what I'm saying is.
Yeah. He's trying to hedge his bets.
Yes, I completely agree.
Come on, once again, it's like, oh, the WWE, big bad, just wanted money.
Yeah, but I've got no problem calling that out. None of us here have a problem calling it out and saying that's a scummy move. Plus, from a business standpoint, he should just bite the bullet and commit to it. It will make him look great. And if Shad Khan has to, Dad, can I get some money for Rebel? Who is this Rebel you speak of?
Tony, they're fine. They're fine.
All right. So the first time ever, MLB is teaming with AEW for Brawl in the Ballpark July 10th. AEW will be putting on a special post-game match at Target Field after the Twins-Angels game. And that is going to feature Jeff Jarrett, who showed up at the ballpark.
In the ballpark. It wasn't his old promotion after TNA. He was in baseball fields.
Global Force.
Yeah, Global Force Wrestling.
Yeah.
Well, he actually owns like 3 baseball teams in Illinois. So
yeah, really? I did not know that. Holy shit, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's
by the way, that motherfucker never ages.
No, not at all.
He's a vampire.
Yeah. So that's happening. And then MJF says he's not going to go after Carlos Silva anymore. Rob, read that.
Well, the truth is, he didn't want AEW talent to go against TNA talent because he thought my boss intentionally put Collision on the same night as TNA, even though every single year during a specific season, we get pushed to Thursdays. He thought we intentionally asked Warner Brothers Discovery. We were preempted. He didn't know that because he didn't know that he got offended and then pulled a couple of matches off. I was offended because, A, you're taking a match away from me that I was looking forward to. I was looking forward to beating the shit out of Nick Nemeth. B, you're taking money out of people's pockets. I was a little upset. I mean, bro, I've been informed that this guy is getting smart to the business. He's fairly green and new, and he's learning on the job. I've been told he's a good guy. I pumped the brakes a little bit on Carlos Silva. He's learning the job.
All right.
That's my first time attempting.
Hey, there you go.
It's like a younger Donald Trump at Long Island.
Yeah, I was gonna say just be New York and you're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, bro.
Now you're crossing over into Vinny Roo territory.
Oh no. Okay. Yeah, all right.
So that's going on. All right. SmackDown.
Didn't watch it.
Wow.
Well, too bad, man.
No, I watched parts of it. I watched, too bad,
because
Carlos.
Because Carmelo Hayes and Trick went out there and they had a fucking great match.
I did see that.
Yep.
Dude, I've been saying it for the longest, man. Carmelo Hayes is so damn good in the ring. His issue lies on the mic, but he can go with anybody. Well, he's had great matches with so many different people with so many different styles. It's awesome to see.
Yeah, and his mic skills showed when he was outside the ring and setting up the match. It worked. The other thing we saw is Sami Zayn, and Cody Rhodes, and that was a fucking kick ass match. Sami turning heel, against his own self consciousness is great to see.
He wanted to walk back and save him, and he pauses. He stares at the ring. He pauses. He walks off. I did watch this after all.
Finally, we're getting the Sami Zayn heel turn because they've been kind of teasing it and then going back. And, you know, there was this really weird babyface and heel dichotomy with Trick. Just make the guy a heel. People don't want to cheer Sami Zayn right now.
Right.
Make him a heel. Fuck it. So good on him for doing it. And yes, having Gunther choke the fuck out of Cody and have that perilous moment with Sami was great. Yeah. And it does go to show you the cinematography is there. WWE has always been good at creating moments that make people feel something. And this is just one of the many, especially lately.
This is a departure from Attitude Era where you'd have Jim Ross screaming at the end. Yeah. This is more theatrical.
It was presented.
Yeah. And they're doing more of that. You're also going to get that match between Cody and Gunther on ESPN or ESPN2, whatever is showing the pay-per-view on Sunday for that first hour. Yep. That and Rhea Ripley and Jade Cargill are going to be the two matches on, which, you know, again, that's, you know, that actually is a smart way to expose, again, bar audiences, you know, who the TV just happened to be on. Yeah. So, interesting stuff. But then Saturday night's main event. I'll tell you right now, Penta had a fucking week, man. His Saturday night's main event, him and Ethan fucking tore it up. And then on Raw, Penta and Javon had a fucking spectacular match. And now we know that it looks like Penta's pushing to go against Rey Mysterio.
Good.
They're dropping the seeds on that. Just good stuff all around with that. And having the Intercontinental title be a part of that is great. Ethan Page went out on commentary on Raw. So good. Yeah, it's like, you know, again, rounded out. It was, and again, funny, you know, funny thing to see, you know, Rey Mysterio wrestling Rusev and having Ethan Page commentating and just going, well, two of those three, you know, again, AEW guys who just, you know, just got lost.
Yeah,
The vintage Rey Mysterio ring attire, too.
Yeah.
He looks pretty ageless. There was something I noticed, and I don't know if it was just accidental or was incidental, whatever you want to call it. The opening of that match of Javon Evans goes for the suicide dive through the ropes and crashes into the announce table, much like Darby Allin did.
Oh, that's
against MJF.
It isn't even a thought. It's just what guys do now.
Yeah.
Jumping and doing the suicide dives. and hitting shit is now like such a fucking norm
yep.
that it's not even. It's
it was the same. It was almost like you could do the side by side. Oh my god!
I'll tell you. Just go watch. Just watch an independent show.
Oh
and
yeah.
When you talk about side by sides, you can take about five of those matches and take spots from each of those matches. You'll see the same fucking thing. It just that's what everyone does now.
The flavor of the year. The flavor of the year.
Yeah.
The suicide dive. The suicide dive has become the new Canadian destroyer.
Right. Also on Raw, we learned that Logan Paul did tear his tricep, so he's going to be out for a couple months, most likely, or at least 3-4 months.
Mm. Yeah. SummerSlam.
Yeah. That's a good call. That's a good call.
Well, you know, what's interesting, though, and I think, again, when you talk about pivoting, you all of a sudden now saw this idea where Paul Heyman said that in the contract it said the Vision are the tag champs.
Right. So they're pulling Freebird.
Like the New Day did.
Yeah. They're doing the Freebird rule.
I did this for you.
Him and Braun Breaker can defend the titles, but they made Austin fucking look the strongest he's looked. All of a sudden, they're finally reaching that potential.
Finally,
and that's great. You know, again, you know, when you look at it and you go potential versus catering table, you know, that's great stuff to see. So, speaking of catering table, looks like El Grande Americano might. Possibly at the catering table, possibly. What is going on? Ludwig Kaiser was uncontrollably intimate and aggressively kissing in an elevator and allegedly attacked a man who said, "Please have some manners."
Gee, I shouldn't laugh, but
no. And the funniest thing about this, though, is if you look at you got booking number, race, four. White, gender, male, age 35, last known location, Orlando, the cell number, date booked, notes, none. But my favorite thing, number of holds, zero. What a fucking thing for a wrestler.
Oh, my God.
No holds. But then,
zero.
So what is this thing with ICE?
So supposedly there was a report that came out after the arrest that the guy that – kind of instigated the whole thing and not just him saying have some manners, said something to the effect, and I'm totally paraphrasing, you better have some manners, get a room, or I'm gonna call ICE on that bitch. That was passed around and, you know, on the internet and things like that. Unfortunately, there have been some conflicting reports that info was put out by another source that had a vested interest in making Marcel Bartel look as good as possible. So it's going to be a giant he said, she said thing. Honestly, what really stands out is the ovation that he got when he went back to Mexico, when he went to Monterey after the arrest, and he became even more beloved with the Mexican audience because of certain things that have happened. So nothing but cement his babyface turn. And he's coming up smelling like roses.
Yeah, just wait until Alberto Del Rio shows up. He'll be fucking a king. Apparently the Mexicanos.
Somebody screenshot this right now.
Not bloody likely, my friend.
I'm just saying.
Hey, Pedro, like you're sitting here trying to fuck my girlfriend, you pinche cabrón.
Oh,
you're so grande, Americano.
We'll see. We'll see what is going on with AAA since this Saturday. There will be a AAA show. And then Sunday will be the...
they had an amazing one between Los Hermanos Americanos y Los Americanos. that, you know, that eventually became a six-way was great. And when the original OG Americano came out with the Despacito shirt with his girlfriend on it saying farewell, oh, my God. Chad Gable is just a savage right now as well.
Are you talking about that?
Despacito, yep.
Yep. That was a really, really good angle that they did.
My God.
Such a good spot.
Yep. And it looks like some sort of shirt you would get at a Mexican swap meet.
Yeah. Yes. That made it even better, man.
Oh, my God.
That airbrush, that airbrush look from the 90s.
Photo. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
That's exactly it.
You go to the mall and they take a picture of you and they print it on the shirt. Right.
The fucking Selena print. Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah. All right. NXT, man, if first off, Tatum Paxley is doing a phenomenal job. I wouldn't be surprised if Tatum gets a shot within the next year of moving up to the main roster at some point. She's really proven herself. But this Lizzie Raine from England, holy fuck, man. Her and Tatum.
She's got a lot of buzz around her right now. So she's got a great look. Obviously, her finish is amazing. People all over the internet. So they've done some really good things with her in a short amount of time.
Some people like how she finishes.
Yeah. Well, I finished her around the same time, and it was heavy metal too. Her and Tatum, that match was phenomenal, and that was her third match. So they gave her a title shot on her third match on NXT.
Jesus,
they're invested in her. They also did a thing backstage last week with her and kind of talking with Tatum and forgot who else about this guy who is also fucking killing it. Tristan Angels is fucking amazing. The guy is a cross between Shawn Michaels and William Regal. I mean, it's fucking amazing. He looks
like an older Nick Wayne.
Holy shit. I could see that.
The face is identical.
I mean, you know.
Did Shayna take a trip to the UK? Like 20 some years ago?
Mom!
We're not going to say anything nasty about her getting around. But you know.
Maybe that really
is. Absolutely not.
That's Christian Cage's son within
But phenomenal. Again, he's another guy from, just having history with Lizzie Raine. Just really kind of, they're working a lot of stuff. And then you got, of course, Mason Rook, who turned on Cam Hendricks, but essentially did a babyface turn. They're listening to the crowd and going, oh shit, we can't make him a fucking bad guy because this guy could potentially be NXT champion within a year, man.
The crowd loves that dude. They love him. And all the clips that I've seen, they are chanting for him. They're cheering him. Like it's organic. So yes, I love the fact that they babyface turned him. And put the rocket on him. Why not? It's a developmental product. There's no way to know unless you do it. And NXT is the perfect setup for those flash wins. So all being
right.
You know who I'd like to see in NXT right now, because they would probably get some better time, all three members, Alpha Academy. They need something, because I saw them on Raw yesterday where they just flashed the camera to them. Maxine Dupri looked sad sitting there by herself in frickin' sandals. She went from an IC champion and reinventing herself to not doing anything.
That was Maxine Dupri's fiance who got turned on that. So she, whatever, who cares? She looks sad. Oh, well, she's got a husband or potentially, future husband who's finally getting a shot in NXT, who is a guy that is very naturally hateable. eventually.
So you're saying she's off the market?
She's been off the market for a while, dude.
Well, she's getting uglier now by the second.
Yeah. And Otis and Tozawa, they don't need to be down there. They get nothing. Again, the fact of the matter is that when you look at NXT right now, they have just washed NXT with, I mean, this is way more different than what they were doing before, because you're seeing LFG feed into this now. You're seeing Evolve fall feed into this. You're seeing the ID program feed into this. This literally is, hey, we're going to take the kids we're invested in now and fucking get them on TV. And
would you call this NXT 3.0, or are they?
I would call this the absolute dream that Dusty had. And that was the honest development of talent to get them to the point where they go from this to being able to go to the main roster and have a shot of sustaining, right? And you look at it, listen, as popular as the Black and Gold brand was, none of those guys had a shot because Vince didn't know who the fuck anyone was. And those guys were guys who were in Ring of Honor and stuff like that. They're already trained. What you're seeing here is taking people who are either younger independent wrestlers or people who are athletes and turning them not into pro wrestlers, but WWE trained wrestlers. That means television. That means promos. That means entertainment. That means all that stuff. That's the difference. The difference is that they really are focusing on that, and you're starting to see the payoff of it as you're starting to see people go up. It's, you know, it's a comfortable, it's like,
I want to say, yeah, one other thing, because when I, for the brief couple of months that I put my pinky toe into try wrestling, one of the trainers was a WWE trainer, a guy who just didn't make it. And anytime you see somebody come from TNA or somebody who was in AEW or an indie get to NXT, they invariably get injured quickly. WWE is quite more rigorous and strenuous with their training to make the product good but safer. And a lot of those guys, you saw that with Trey Miguel, got and went in with the other Rascals. He got hurt doing a five-star frog splash, and he was grabbing himself because he overextended. You don't see that as often with the bulk of the WWE guys by comparison to their indie counterpart parts. So they are training them a lot more vigorously.
Well, they're also, you know, developing them as athletes in terms of, and you know, they have nutritionists, they have fucking, you know, everything you could imagine. Now
their medical teams, their training facilities, everything's probably off the charts.
It is. So, but you are seeing now what you can do by, instead of having, you know, the same people in a system, move them up. And again, that's why the releases, it's like, it's fine that these guys got released. That's great, because they're going to get other opportunities elsewhere.
Exactly.
Yeah. And whether
there are enough spots elsewhere, and the model's been proven by countless people that have left WWE or have been future endeavored to go out there and to develop a character and to do the indies and make it profitable. It's been proven it can be done.
And on the flip side, you also now have a chance for, you know, those people at AEW who, you know, for whatever reason, either that WWE is their dream or they weren't getting, you know, the reps in. You know, you look and you have now Ethan Page and fucking, you know, Mariah May.
Ethan Page is the biggest example of that. There obviously were some backstage reports that they love Ethan Page, not just as a talent, but as a person as well. So that's huge and plays in immensely well for his future. And honestly, I love to see stuff like that, because I do think Ethan Page was one of those people that really wasn't appreciated as much as he should have been in AEW. So
wherever he can get,
what?
I'm agreeing. He wasn't.
Okay, cool. I thought you were saying something. It for him to experience what he's experiencing now on, let's be real, a bigger stage, great for him. Not just good for him, great for him. So I would love nothing more than Ethan Page to be, you know, WWE world champion in 2 years. That would be fantastic. Maybe even a year. Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but that's the point. The point is that the opportunities, you know, it's a two-way street. You're also seeing TNA. Yep. Again, the opportunities between NXT and TNA. Fucking Starboy Charlie, you know, made his TNA debut.
Yeah.
And it's like, I mean, you know, this guy's been around for, you know, quite a few years as an independent. And, you know, he's finally getting the chance to get a little more exposure. So, you know, it's good for everyone. However, Vince McMahon interested in buying TNA? Huh. Interesting. Once again, according to growing online speculation.
Oh, great. I love that site.
Yeah, I know. This is hysterical. I love this shit. You know, Vince McMahon has expressed interest in potentially purchasing TNA Wrestling. Now, before people lose their minds, it's important to stress that this, at this stage, this remains firmly in internet rumor territory. You know, for those unaware, TNA Wrestling is currently owned by Anthem Sports, you know, Canadian media company, working with NXT, WWE relationship, led some fans to immediately dismiss the rumors entirely. But industry watchers, you know, the industry watchers, of course, point out that the business partnerships do not necessarily prevent companies from exploring outside investment opportunities. The really interesting part of the rumor, however, is that Vince McMahon himself, ever since officially stepping away from WWE and TKO, has expressed interest in wanting to get back in the business. I love this stuff because, you know, it's so stupid that it's brilliant. That, you know, speculation suggests Vince could potentially operate more behind the scenes if a deal of this nature ever became realistic. That's where Shane McMahon's name enters the conversation. You know, at this point, Vince turned 80 last year. He was born in 45. So can we just stop bringing up Vince McMahon?
Dude, I would love nothing more. That's never going to happen.
It's never going to happen. And people always want to speculate that he's going to have one triumphant run and buy something. He's 80 years old. His heart's going to explode and creatine's going to ooze out. I mean, it's what people like. People want to see him just walk down there and go, "I bought this and this is mine and you're all fired."
Well, I don't even know if it's what people like. I think it's very clearly these internet sites want traction.
Yeah,
sure. They make money, and that's an easy way to make money is suggesting Vince McMahon is getting involved. However, suggesting things is also something. So, Steve, why don't you run this one down for us?
Oh, my God. So supposedly when the, you know, when things were going down in 2020, WWE had planned to introduce a new NWO faction featuring Cesaro, Shinsuke Nakamura, Lars Sullivan, and Sheamus. And supposedly this idea was nixed because at least two of these guys showed up to TV and they failed their COVID test. Otherwise, we may very well be talking. No, we wouldn't be talking about NWO 2.0 because thankfully this shit did not happen. This would have been absolutely abysmal, yet par for the course for Vince McMahon booking right at that time.
Or shall we say, once again, I believe a, you know, a website making up shit to just kind of like, because, you know, I mean, realistically, yeah, that wasn't fucking going to happen. Just like, I honestly don't believe this. WWE reportedly interested in FTR as the AEW contract approaches option here.
I'll be honest, though. Okay. They've held the AEW tag titles. They've been a part of numerous, you know, classic matches as part of their AEW run. Cool. If they want to go back to WWE, awesome. By all means, they need tag teams, as has been, you know, another latest report. But what I can say too is, yeah, they thrived when Hunter was running Black and Gold in NXT.
Sure, sure, sure.
And so obviously now that he's overseeing still, you know, the creative stuff and has quite a say in WWE main, absolutely. I would be all for Dax and Cash to go back to WWE and write another chapter there. Absolutely.
I would imagine it as a kind of a lackluster run because I don't see what they would do, where they would fit in, what branch they would fit in, what brand I should say, and they could
grab that entire tag team division by the freaking shirt cuff and drag them along with them. They are that good.
My honest answer is, if I'm FTR, I'm telling one of my friends in WWE, who is a quote-unquote source, to leak this out that WWE is interested in us to play up my fucking contract when it's coming up in the negotiations, because you know damn straight that they know how Tony works and are smart enough to try to get more money than, you know.
Wait, you're saying my cousin wants you?
Cousin Nick? Oh, man.
All right. How much is it going to cost? And do I need to keep the black guy?
Old Saint Nick.
I haven't seen Nick since the family reunion when my dad's mustache was still just a caterpillar.
Yeah, we were all together in Islamabad, and then there was, like, you know, we exchanged the family tradition of exchanging Maseratis and Ferraris, and
no Islama good.
Well, thank you very much. Oh wait, you said Islama, never mind.
All right, so
it's all the same.
Speaking of people getting opportunities elsewhere,
absolutely.
What's up with Progress?
So Progress and Defy, the indie promotion in the Pacific Northwest, were both purchased by Big Damo and Nikki Storm, the former Nikki Cross. So very cool to see them getting into the pro wrestling business. And obviously they were stalwarts of the UK indie scene before going to WWE. So yeah, this is a full circle moment. I saw this morning, actually. And it was really cool to see. And again, not just owning and buying Progress, but also Defy, which is one of the better independent promotions here in the U.S. Yeah. and has, you know, that's where we got Swerve Strickland and Darby Allin and, you know, a lot of the names here from the States too. So very cool, man. I'm definitely
doesn't Moxley
I'm looking forward to see what they do.
I think I've seen Moxley on a few of their posters.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Moxley has done Defy shows. If you are in the PNW, and I know that we have listeners and viewers in that area, if you haven't been to a Defy show, do yourself a favor and seek that shit out, because I've not seen a bad show from them.
Yeah, I personally like D6 better, but Defy is open. Speaking of people getting opportunities.
Yeah.
Do shit. What the fuck?
That is- So this was actually after so World Series Wrestling is a touring indie in Australia. Yeah, and essentially they'll do 4 and 5 shows in a run, and they release them all free on YouTube. So you can go check them out right now, World Series Wrestling. And yeah, all these guys were part of a touring group. So this was a bit of obviously, you know, having fun kayfabe breaking at the end of it. You've got Matt Riddle, you got Killer Cross, and you also have Scarlett Bordeaux drinking beer being poured out of Shotzi's boot on Priscilla Kelly's ass in a luge. And you got Moose back there celebrating, and the Good Brothers back there hanging out as well.
This is what happens if you let WWE wrestlers do what they want.
I just love that Carl is on his phone, probably checking his texts from his wife.
Exactly.
Doc looks like he's playing Angry Birds or some shit. The two of them are nonplussed by this.
Really, really good stuff from that promotion, though. They did a lot of really good stuff on that tour.
Well, yeah, you're drinking beer be out of a chick's ass.
In November, too. They're going to be doing another stretch, and they're starting to announce names for that, and it should be, again, great in-ring stuff.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot of stretching that's involved when you're drinking beer out of someone's ass.
Absolutely.
And Kevin's got their championship, so good for him. I love it.
Hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
All right, Steve, give us an over-under.
You know, so the funny thing with all of the AEW talk this week was, you know, centered around Double or Nothing, but they've got some really good segments and some good matches that have already been announced for Dynamite. And want to say what's up to our boy, the Bionic Scoop. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight, bro. Good to see you as always. And yeah, so my over-under this week is there's a match between Chris Jericho and Ricochet, part 87 at this point, with the stipulation being that everyone is banned from ringside. We all know how those things go. Everyone will not be barred from ringside. There will be some bullshit that happens, some sort of chicanery. But yeah, I think that you definitely are starting to see Chris Jericho picked up the pinfall victory over Bishop Khan in the Stadium Stampede match. And he's definitely going to be picking up the win here over Ricochet, unless they have some shit happen and maybe there's a new debut. Maybe someone chooses to align with Ricochet. I don't know. We'll have to check it out. But the money this week is on Jericho.
All right. Well, let's get some presidential pontifications from the president.
That's a lot of peas.
I know. All right, president, are you there?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello?
Welcome, Mr. President.
What the fuck's wrong with this connection? What is this, 56K? Hello?
Hello?
Excuse me, you don't do that voice. I do that voice, and I do it tremendously. It's a fantastic voice. A lot of people say, quite honestly, the best voice, and I should be the voice of wrestling. I could do a much better job than Jim Ross, okay? Does he watch the matches, or is he a cardboard cutout? I don't even know anymore. It's so sad. It's so really sad. He goes, oh, we have a new winner. Kyle O'Reilly lost the fucking match, and he goes, "Oh, we have a new winner with Jon Moxley. I could have done a better job. I could have done a better job with Renee Young sitting on my face, and I could have called the match better."
Oh boy!
And you know what? She's been on my face a few times. Believe it. Believe it. Okay. There's a reason they call her Renee Young, and I picketed it in. Believe it.
Wow.
So my over under is I was over Renee and she was under me eating my ass.
Oh my God. Oh, well, you know what? I think it's a good time to take a social media call. Okay. So, wow. Mike Modest posted this. Sad to hear about Pulido suicide. He lost his life recently in a match. He performed a backflip to the floor, but slipped and landed on his head. It killed him instantly. That was just horrific to hear. God, you know, just hearing that description, man. Awful.
It's terrible. Thoughts go out to his family, man.
Yeah, also an anniversary here on May 23rd, 1999. That is when Owen Hart lost his life. But obviously everyone knows that his sacrifice was just so that the Owen Hart Classic Tournament could be formed. So, you know.
Come on now. Come on.
Damn.
I'm just saying. I mean, you know. He didn't die in vain. They're obviously.
Oh, God.
Well, he died in St. Louis. So
you're gonna burn slowly in hell,
or was it Kansas City? I don't know.
St. Jesus Louis, Christ.
Same.
It was the Kemper Arena. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
I actually remember watching that pay per view when that happened. And Jim Ross and Jerry the King, like, well, what's going on here? We got Owen Hart up in the what? Oh God! And then camera goes away, and I remember Mark Mero and Sable trying to, like, you know, go through their scripts, and they were like, no one's on point. They should have just
not at all. And yeah, by the way, Kansas City.
Yeah, that's what I thought. St. Louis, Kansas City, same.
Tomato, potato.
Just a stone's throw across. Hey, yeah. Ronda Rousey made $1.5 million in 1 year with WWE and $2.2 million in 17 seconds in that ridiculously staged fight.
Money.
Exactly. Stone Cold had a quote here. This was on BuzzFeed. I'm for same-sex marriage. I don't give a shit. Any human being that wants to be married, more power to them.
So, I think this would have been buzzworthy in 1995. Now, kind of like... Yeah. Hey, my neighbor.
You know what? I'm sorry. He's a redneck, right? He's a self-professed redneck. So when you have someone like that coming out, you know, maybe that will, you know, kind of play to some of the people who, you know, look up to him and go, well, if Steve thinks that, maybe I'll have a.
God, maybe like I that and Steve after
I,
all.
I always think about Steve. And, you know, and I'm like,
what's Steve do, man?
This was
going to break open the six pack and then break open your ass.
Oh, jeez.
Vampiro recently bumped into Sting just was, you know, very, I guess, just very thankful, grateful. Is what he said here to have Sting be there and he's the one who opened doors, shared wisdom, took the you know, took his first made him, you know,
yeah, he opened the door like, for him.
Yeah.
So. That's what you're trying to say.
It was good stuff. And then this is good stuff. Danhausen.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, the Cavaliers.
I love it.
You know, and it's playing, and it's playing into the fucking storylines here with Miz
being
from Cleveland. Just wonderful. Good to see Danhausen popping up. And then from the archives of the Batcave, someone watching Juggalo Championship Wrestling, which was great because that same person then happened to see this come up on Fox News, where J.D. Vance had the Juggalo Championship Wrestling.
The cry on.
And then... that happened, apparently, to him. Good for JD.
What is a juggalo?
Fucking Faygo.
What is a juggalo?
Oh, what the hell is this?
Well, this is some wonderful AI crap.
Oh, shit.
Why does Hulk Hogan have bangs?
Right. He's got a perm and bangs. You know.
The other two, I believe, but I believe Ric Flair.
Yeah, Randy Savage was not wearing those glasses like this apparently 1978 picture.
Not even. That card's like 1967.
That's a 70s thing. But the funniest thing is that in the person who posted this, Fry obviously douche. It's AI slop, but the funniest thing about it is that they claim that this little kid here, you know, by the two parents, they claimed that that was Logan Paul or Jake Paul.
Oh, God.
Who wouldn't have even been close to being born then? So,
no.
Go back to that picture. Then just look at the. It's supposed to say fried dough, I guess, but I'm looking at that and I almost read. The first thing I said was fried douche. It's the first thing I saw.
Fried douche.
I don't think that's a G. I think that's a C.
I don't know. I see dildo.
Oh my god! Bad
though, so
you would.
Why do I feel like Hulk Hogan's the bottom in that? Like, what? I feel like he's Terry Bollea.
It's because of his hair, man. It's because of his hair.
Yeah.
You're looking at him as the lady of the group.
He's sweet lips in that one. Sugar lips.
Thunder lips.
Thunder lips. Yeah.
Some art here nice. By Rick Knox.
That's awesome.
Yeah, Rick Knox posted some of his art that he's been doing.
Friend of the show, Rick Knox.
The Van Gogh I got in Europe, the other two I recently bought online for a 15-year wrestling mark from Toledo. Fucking great. You caught Eric and Mick Foley. That was wonderful. And then airport pickup of a taxi. So Mac, first time to parts unknown. Just wonderful shit. As we kind of wrap up here, crap, I shouldn't have got rid of that. There's a new thing going around. Unfortunately, everyone's kind of getting scared of a new possible outbreak of pandemic. We weren't too sure how this started, and then we found out antivirus.
Fucking Christ. What the fuck? What the? And why is Jesus Christ?
So that's what you were up to, Rob. Okay.
Holy shit! Look what they did to Betty White in the T-shirt.
I mean, Rob, it's, you know, it's cool. I mean, you know, you find a rat with a bush beer, you know, to each their own.
Next.
Rob, did you at least have fun?
No, I want my money back.
Speaking about wanting your money back, tell people where they can see you this weekend.
Oh, Jesus. I'm going to fucking kill you. Hold on. Oh, I'm going to fucking kill you. Oh.
Perfect segue.
I think what you meant to say was, oh, rats.
All right. I'm going to be at the... Oh, shut the fuck up. I'm going to be at Jack Park Bar and Grill on June 13th for Laugh or Trash. I'm going to be making a guest appearance at an upcoming WrestleMania, being the guy who's going to bring in the headlining comedian. So expect to see Donald Trump or Barack Obama there at WrestleMania. Go to Vegas Trump Guy right there. Look at that. It says right there, Vegas Trump Guy. And you'll find my social media with any of the updates and highlights of where I'll be next. Oh, and Cameo. Cameo.com/BOCE comedy. And you can get me to do whatever you want, apparently.
Hello.
Will you do a cameo with the rat?
It's got to be a lot more money and a lot of Vaseline.
Well, damn. There you go. Scoop. All scoop. Right. Look them up. Get that cameo with the rat and Rob. All right. Steve.
Awesome. It's your turn. Yeah, man. I just want to say. What the fuck?
It's oh my God. Venus.
Right. I do like how you got, you know, everything accurate on there, you know, everything. Right. This is spot on. Absolutely. The Brahma
Bull tattoo.
Yeah. The Brahma Bull tattoo, the whole deal. I love it, man.
You're eating Poontang pie.
That's right. La, la, la. And no, I just want to say thank you to everybody for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you to all the brave men and women serving this country.
What? What is that?
Whether you're doing it on land, foreign, or domestic, thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com. Oh, my God. Repsports.com, repsports.com. Go there for your pre-workout, weight loss, general energy needs. Repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout. Mind the urinal and save yourself 10%.
Did any of you have a great time tonight?
Yeah. With that, everybody, thank you for hanging out. We will we'll do it all again next week. Till then, happy wrestling.
Rolling up the strip under neon lights. Podcast mic is glowing in the desert night. Matt and Michael's leading with the swagger tight. Sin City Steve right by his side. Alright. Rob Butcher, Larry dropping truths, no fear. Broadcasting stories, make it loud and clear. From the Fremont edges to the Bellagio sphere. These bad boys rule, let me make that clear. Vegas bad boys tearing up the scene.
To Matt Michaels and the Vegas Boys of Podcasting, this is John Cena saying thank you so much.